And welcome to Trinity Lutheran Church in Alamosa. We're glad you tuned in today. Trinity Lutheran is located at 52 El Rio Drive in Alamosa, Colorado. Pastor Jason Cody and the congregation at Trinity Lutheran welcome you to join them every Sunday, in person or right here on KSPK. And now, let's take you live to this morning's worship service with Pastor Jason Cody.
Sing praises to the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. I will praise the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being. Put not your trust in princes, in a son of man in whom there is no salvation. When his breath departs, he returns to the earth. On that very day, his plans perish. Blessed is he whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord his God, who made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, who keeps faith forever, who executes justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets the prisoners free. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the sojourner. He upholds the widow and the fatherless. But the way of the wicked he brings to ruin. The Lord will reign forever. Your God, O Zion, to all generations, praise the Lord. I will praise the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being. We invite the congregation to please stand. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord.
Amen.
I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And you forgave the iniquity of my sin.
O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended you and justly deserved your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them and sincerely repent of them. And I pray you of your boundless mercy and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Our introit for Easter from Matthew 28, Hebrews 2, and Psalm 8. Christ has risen from the dead. God the Father has crowned him with glory and honor. He has given him dominion over the works of his hands. He has put all things under his feet. with you.
And with thy spirit.
Let us pray. Oh God, you make the minds of your faithful to be of one will. Grant that we may love what you have commanded and desire what you promise. That among the many changes of this world, our hearts may be fixed where true joys are found. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. 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 Please be seated. Our first reading for this morning is from the book of Acts in the 6th and 7th chapter. By the way, this is actually the 5th Sunday of Easter. The front of your bulletin says it's last Sunday. But these are the readings for the 5th Sunday of Easter, which are our first reading from the book of Acts. Now, in these days, when the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint by the Hellenists arose against the Hebrews because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution. And the 12 summoned the full number of the disciples and said, "It is not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables. Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you 7 men of good repute, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we will appoint to this duty. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word." And what they said pleased the whole gathering, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch. These they set before the apostles, and they prayed and laid their hands on them. And the word of God continued to increase, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests became obedient to the faith. And Stephen, full of grace and power, was doing great wonders and signs among the people. Then some of those who belonged to the synagogue of the freedmen, as it was called, and of the Cyrenians, and of the Alexandrians, and of those from Cilicia and Asia, rose up and disputed with Stephen. And Stephen said, "Brothers and fathers, hear me. You stiff-necked people, uncircumcised in heart and ears, you always resist the Holy Spirit. As your fathers did, so do you. Which of the prophets did not your fathers persecute? And they killed those who announced beforehand the coming of the righteous one, whom you have now betrayed and murdered. You who received the law as delivered by angels and did not keep it." So when they heard these things, they were enraged, and they ground their teeth at him. But he, full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And he said, "Behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." But they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and rushed together at him. Then they cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their garments at the feet of a young man named Saul. And as they were stoning Stephen, he called out, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." And falling to his knees, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." And when he had said this, he fell asleep. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We invite the children forward now for our children's sermon. He's coming. Here he comes. Hi, Joey. Okay, we got 2 stuffed animals up here today. Give me their names. This one's Jeffrey. Bella. Jeffrey and Bella have joined us for the children's sermon as well. That's so great. Awesome. Question for you guys. Did you notice how we began the church service today? And was it different than we usually do it?
Yes.
And what was I doing up there?
Not saying good morning.
You're right. When we start the service that way, I don't say good morning like usual. You are correct, Danica. And the fifth Sunday of Easter, yeah, that was supposed to be here, but the bulletin was wrong. Yeah, somehow we missed that. What was I doing when I was up here, though?
Preaching.
What?
Preaching.
Preaching? Close. Oh, you weren't looking? Were you listening, though?
Yeah. Well, I haven't even listened. I was just coloring.
Oh, you were just coloring away. Okay.
Yeah.
I was chanting like this. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, oh my soul. Okay? Do you know what? Oh, you did hear it. Oh, that's chanting. Yeah. And it's a form of singing. Okay? Right? So some chanting is not singing, but this type of chanting is a form of singing, yeah. And do you know why the church sings? Because some people, if they're not used to chanting or singing a lot, and even in our service, if you noticed as we went through the service. No, not to convince Jesus to come down sooner. Good guess. Do you know why we sing? This is what I want to teach you guys today. See, we sang already a lot of songs. Why would the pastor chant, and why would we sing? To be happy? Any other ideas, Joey?
Maybe God can stand right up there without breaking up. They go up there.
If God stood right there, I don't know what would happen, right?
We can break the chair.
Well, I don't know how much he weighs. I've never asked him.
Praise God.
But
it doesn't feel like living on earth because the air pressure in our bodies is the same.
Interesting. Yeah, we're talking about pressure there, huh? Okay, let me ask you this. Danica was actually kind of right because she said the reason that we sing is why, Danica? What did you say?
Praise God.
To praise God, to be happy. The reason that we sing so much in the church service, okay? Are you paying attention? Are you paying attention, Joey? The reason we sing so much in the church service is because God does great things. And after God does great things all throughout the Bible, do you know what people do?
What?
They sing. Yeah, so like after the Israelites came out of Egypt and they crossed the Red Sea, do you guys remember that story? And the sea opened up and they walked across on dry ground, do you remember that? Yeah. So after that happened, guess what the people did?
They sang.
They sang. Yeah, there's it recorded for us the Song of Moses.
Dad never got to watch Prince of Egypt.
Oh. Maybe she'll get a chance. Maybe she'll get a chance. Every time something great happens in the Bible, or a lot of times, the people respond by singing. And so we sing in the church service because God has done something great for us. What did he do that was so great for us?
Make us live.
He makes us live.
He gave us a world.
He gave us a church.
He gave us food.
He gives us food.
He gave his life for us.
There you go. That's perfect.
He gave his
life for us. He gives us forgiveness. Okay, let's sit back down in the pew and we're going to say our prayer. Fold your hands, bow your heads, close your eyes, repeat after me. Lord Jesus, thank you so much for forgiving our sins, for loving us, and help us to sing. Because we're thankful. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, you guys can go sit back down. Thank you for coming up. Our epistle lesson for today comes from 1 Peter chapter 2. Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up to salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. As you come to him, a living stone, rejected by men, but in the sight of God, chosen and precious, you yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For it stands in Scripture, "Behold, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone, chosen and precious, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. So the honor is for you who believe, but for those who do not believe, the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumble because they disobey the word, as they were destined to do. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We invite the congregation to stand for our Alleluia and the reading of the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 14th chapter.
Glory be to thee, O Lord.
Jesus said, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way to where I'm going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us." Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you so long, and you still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or else believe on account of the works themselves. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater than these will he do, because I am going to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to thee, O Christ.
We join in confessing our faith together to the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty,
maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life
everlasting.
Amen.
Please be seated. Our hymn of the day for this fifth Sunday after Easter is hymn 633, "At the Lamb's High Feast We Sing." He is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Please be seated. This morning in our gospel reading in John chapter 14, Jesus speaks to the troubles. I hope that you're not troubled today. But if you are, he's speaking right to you. He's saying in verse 1, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me." Now the direct context here is Jesus with his disciples at the Last Supper. And he's comforting them regarding this impending event of his departure. He's preparing them for the moments in which he goes away. I think both into his tomb for a short time, and then also at his ascension up into the heavens, he's comforting them and getting them ready. He's leaving, but he's not deserting them. And there's a difference, a very important difference. And if you're having troubles today, coming in here, there's troubles weighing on your mind, know this, that he has not deserted you either. See, because we're so used to looking around at our own lives and drawing our own conclusions, and we don't see anything that really miraculous happening around us or crazy spiritual, and so we might assume, where's God? Where'd he go? Has he deserted us? Some people refuse to believe the gospel because of what their blind eyes don't see. But those of faith walk by faith, not by sight. And those who don't see him can't see him because they look for him only in the extraordinary, not in the ordinary. But he's in the ordinary all the time, what we call ordinary. We want to grow in our Christian faith. We use that kind of language anyways. And I think if we want to grow, one of the things we need to do is learn to see God in what we call ordinary, because friends, it's not ordinary at all. We've just grown used to it. The blessings, I mean. The great blessings that are all around us all the time. He's there at work constantly through the things that he created. And if the devil cannot short-circuit our faith by making us think that God has deserted us, then guess what he'll do? Well, he'll take up another task and get us to start drawing false conclusions, then not about God, because we've learned to see him in all the daily blessings, but to get us to draw false conclusions then about ourselves. And if we're not careful, and if we don't stay in his word, we'll be looking blindly at our own lives, our accomplishments, our friendships, our relationships, our bank accounts, our worldly ideas of success, or who we think that people see us as, and we'll draw our own conclusions from that information then about who we are. And this is another damaging trick of the devil, to get us to validate ourselves in the world's way instead of in God's way. And the two are vastly different. To find our value as a person the way the world teaches us to, instead of the way that God gives it to us. To seek out temporal comparisons. to try and understand if we're valuable, how valuable we are, and even who we are. Jesus goes on, he says in the next verses to the disciples, "In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and bring you to myself." This is the thing I notice about this text this week is, if you look at it, there's something pretty awesome. See, who does Jesus say he's going to prepare a place for? You. He says he's going to prepare a place for you. And he says he will come again and take you to himself, that you may be where he is. And we just kind of read right past that, I think. Maybe we don't hear it, how valuable we are to him. The King of Kings, Creator of the universe, is saying that he's gone to do some work to prepare a place for you. I don't know what his work looks like. I wish I could go check it out. You know, does he have a hammer? Is he pounding nails for you? Is he laying plaster on a wall for you? Is he putting floorboards down for you in all these rooms in his Father's house? I don't know. It'd be cool to see. But he's gone to a lot of effort. And I don't think he'd do that unless you were extremely valuable to him. And he certainly wouldn't suffer on the cross for you unless you mattered that much. He would not. And the scriptures attest to this. They say, "For God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life." And you know, the devil, the world, and our sinful flesh want to keep us constantly questioning and doubting our worth. If he can't get you to not see God at work, then he'll get you to turn on yourself. He's the accuser. He's the father of lies. Those are the things Jesus says about him. And he's always going about work. So ask yourself, these are important questions. Where am I trying to gain my value, my worth in this world? Where am I trying to get it? And you have to be pretty introspective in order to do this. We all do. But I'm really asking you, where are you trying to get it from? From your own life experience? Is it based on what people think of me? Is it the total in my bank account? Is it what the bathroom scale tells me? A lot of people find their value there, believe it or not. It's a pretty small item. It affects a lot of people's lives and how much they think they're worth. That's sad. Is your value coming from the choices you see your children making? Where are you getting it from? Because I'll guarantee you that where we get our value from, it's probably the wrong place. Where do we get it? You got to be introspective. The truth, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I will come again and I will bring you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. The truth is, our worth comes from God, not from all the garbage that we try to find it in. Nothing else can be the value base for a Christian person. Nothing. Except for God's love and Jesus and his sacrifice, those things are what make you worth something. They make you priceless, as Peter told us, a holy people, beloved and even chosen. You are. If our value base is anywhere else besides right there, besides that blessed gift that God gives and His love for you, if you're trying to find it, if I'm trying to find it anywhere else, then friends, we've already stepped into Satan's trap. And it's just a matter of time before he's going to set it. We have great value, more than we can even imagine, because God loves us. The fact that God truly loves us, that he proved it to us by going to the cross and giving his own life. The fact that he proved it to us when he put us in the water of baptism and he called us by name and he made us his own children, and he proves it when he invites you up to the altar. The fact that he does that, and that Romans chapter 6 tells us that he did that for us. It says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We have such great value before God. There's no value to be gained in these worldly comparisons. There's no value to be gained for you in what you accomplish. And what we look like, or how rich we are, or any other worldly thing. It's the devil's game. And it's so dangerous. Why? Because we all believe that's where our value is supposed to come from. We do. And we seek it there all the time. It's a sad fact. I'm not sure if you know this. But people, humans, we get older. We do. And as we get older, we get less capable. Things change in our bodies, and we can't do as much. And we think, what am I good for? You know how many times I've sat with somebody and they've said that to me? A precious, beautiful, amazing child of God says, what am I any good for? Where were you getting your worth or your value? Was it from what you did? That's the wrong place. Can you see it? What we're talking about? Our worth or our value, it's not based on what we do. It's not based on our weird little scientific experiments and measurements that we conduct all the time among all the people we know to see where we're at. It's not there. It's in the fact that God loves you. That's where it is. But we struggle with this game, this self-evaluating game. It's like this. It's like we're being raised at a carnival. I mean, living in the world. It's like we're being raised at a carnival. And we never get to leave the carnival, ever. We're stuck there our entire childhood. And so when we want to know what we look like at the carnival, we go over to the mirrors, right? Because they'll give us a reflection of ourselves. We go over to the mirrors and we look in the mirrors and we see this image. And we don't know that the mirror goes like this. And the image is wrong. But that's what we believe about ourselves because we're looking in the wrong mirror. That's what it's like living in the sinful world. When we are measuring ourselves and trying to value ourselves based on the people around us, what people say, what people don't say, how much money we have, all the stuff we mentioned earlier and more. That's what it's like living here. So what do we do? I mean, where do we ever find a mirror that's going to give us a good reflection, that's going to tell us the truth? Well, check this out. James chapter 1, that the word of God is like a man beholding his natural face in glass, and he sees what manner of man he is. Answer, the picture is accurate. The picture that the scripture gives you of yourself and myself. The word of God is like a man beholding his natural face in glass. He sees what manner of man he is. the Bible, the scriptures, the Word of God, it's the only reflection of you or me that's accurate, that's going to tell us the truth. Everything else is going to be a goofy carnival mirror. It's not going to tell us who we really are. So, if you're getting down on yourself, it's not a very smart thing to do. You're not looking in the right mirror. Look in the mirror of the scriptures and see what they have to say to you. Listen to Peter again. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of the darkness and into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. And once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Have you ever heard of the Greek word? It's going to sound familiar. Idios. Idios is the Greek word, and the Greek word idios means from oneself to oneself. And that's what we're doing when we're trying to get our value or our worth from the things in this world, from the funny mirrors. Is we're the ones measuring that. So we're going from ourselves out there and then back to ourselves. And guess what? In that, we correctly fit the Greek word idios, which is where we get our English word idiot. So if we're going about this practice, we're actually kind of being idiots. It's true. This is why we need the Word of God so badly, friends, and why spending time in it is not a waste of our time. And the text goes on. Teaches us some more about this priceless topic. The world, even Christians, get confused. They hear this phrase where Jesus says, I'm the way. I'm the way. And they think, oh, cool. So Jesus is how we get to heaven. Jesus is not just merely a means to heaven, friends. He's not a means to an end in anything. Jesus is the means and the end itself. So when Jesus comes to us, heaven comes to us. Philip goes to Jesus because he thinks he's a means to an end. He says, Jesus, show us the Father and it'll be enough for us. And Jesus says, Philip, I've been with you the whole time and you haven't seen me. Everything is in Christ. Jesus is everything to us, including heaven. So it's not just Jesus is the way to get there. But Jesus is the thing itself. That's what he means when he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He's not just a tool. And if we think that way, that's what'll keep us stuck, trying to build some kind of value everywhere but where it actually exists, which is from God. We're trying to be good enough. We're trying to feel good enough. God's saying to you and to me, you are. Because of my love and my forgiveness, you are good enough. I just have this phrase I want to share with you this morning. It's very simple, but it's very powerful. So you kind of have to just go with me for just a minute. What the scriptures are telling us, the image of us that we're getting from the mirror of the scripture is this very simple phrase. You are loved. But I wonder if you can hear me. I really, really, really wonder. Because there's a lot of work and a lot of evidence that's gone into who you might think that you are in your life and in mine. There's a lot of work there. And I don't know if that work has given you the answer that you're loved or not. I really don't. But I do know this, what we get into there, they're all funny mirrors. They're not giving you the truth. Here's the truth. You are loved. I just want it to sink in for me too. Can it sink in? Just give it 1 second to sink in and what it really means. You are loved. It's a powerful, powerful, powerful thing that the scriptures are telling you. That's the image that it's given us back. Yes, we sin and fall short of the glory of God, but Jesus died for us. Why? Because he loves you. You are loved. And everything that comes with it. Yes, rooms, many of them, in his Father's house. Yes, his return will be for you because you're loved. It's incredible. And it's not because you accomplished anything. And it's not because we're worthy of his love. It's because of who God is. We're loved not by him because of who we are. We're loved and valued, and we are who we are because he loves us. We shouldn't doubt our value, friends. I hope this morning that you leave here with a little bit of a different perspective on where that comes from. Because we'll never find it in the funny mirrors of this world. And if you catch yourself doing that, hit the brakes. God has a different thing to show you, a different image of yourself in the scriptures. His death on the cross is proof of how he feels about you. Don't ever forget that. So if you're troubled by something, especially if it has to do with something like that, hear the gospel. He loves you. He loves you. He loves you. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. We now come to the time for our tithes and offerings. As the offerings are collected and presented this morning, would you join us in singing our offering hymn? It's hymn 912, Christ is our Cornerstone. Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Heavenly Father, through the power of Christ's resurrection, show us that you receive us purely by grace. As your newborn children, nourish our faith through the pure spiritual milk of your word, that we may dwell in your presence forever. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Send laborers into your harvest, O Lord. Preserve your ministers among us, devoted to your word and to prayer. Give many servants to your church, that neither the preaching nor the care of your people may fall into neglect or disregard. Lord, in your mercy, merciful Lord, help parents to raise up their children to know you as their help and their hope, that they may not put their trust in earthly things or look for their identity in their own comparisons where there is no salvation. Lord, in your mercy,
amen.
Holy God, your power brought all things into being and still preserves what you've made. Bless Donald, our president, the Congress of the United States, Jared, our governor, and all elected and appointed civil servants. Lead them to honor you and your purpose, establishing order and justice, encouraging virtue, and protecting all life. Give them wisdom, give them moderation to lead for the well-being of the nation. Lord, in your mercy. Father of glory, your Son declared himself to be the way, the truth, and the life. Bless all who have requested our prayers today, the prayer of the church. Lord, we lift up to you now and name before you Ron Simpson, Donna Ford, Kendall, Susan and family, Carol Schrader, Wendy Vest, Lindsay McClone and son Carter Lee, Lucy Walsh and family, Jim Holman, Helen Almdale, Jeff Autopolic, Rob and Ingrid Miller, Rupert Gallegos, Ella Gonzalez, Debbie Ford, Betty Gray, Sandy Santisteven, Sonny Rumler, and all those that we name silently on our hearts at this time. May Christ himself be their way of salvation, their truth amid doubt, and their life amid death. And Lord, we also name before you this morning our prayer team and prayer chain here at the church. Lord, they're praying for everybody, and today we want to pray for them. Lord, that you'd remind each of them that their service is pleasing to you and that they're loved. Lord, grant all that we've prayed for sure and steadfast hope in the good news that Jesus has prepared a place for them in the heavens where pain and sickness are no more and all things are made new. Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
Almighty God, in Christ you have made us a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, and a people for your own possession. Preserve your people in the one true faith, and grant that all who come to the supper this day might do so with repentant hearts and thankfully receive your Son's body and blood. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord, we thank and praise you for your servant Stephen, whom your Son has received into his glory. May we imitate him in faith and love to speak your truth with boldness, forgiving those who sin against us as Christ forgave his persecutors from the cross. When our last hour comes, Lord, let us fall asleep in him and be born into eternal life for the sake of him who was born into our flesh to redeem it, even Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. If you've been joining us on the radio this morning, we thank you for tuning in and wish you the Lord's blessings. Send you with the message as well to remember that you are loved and that the cross is proof of it. If you're gathered in the sanctuary today, we invite you to turn over to page 11 in your bulletins, and we begin with our service of the sacrament there. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God. It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God. And most especially are we bound to praise you on this day for the glorious resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ, the very Paschal Lamb who was sacrificed for us and bore the sins of the world. By his dying, he has destroyed death. And by his rising again, he has restored to us.
Thank you for joining our service today at Trinity Lutheran Church in Alamosa, Colorado. We hope this worship service has been a blessing to you. If you would like to support our ministry, please visit our website by searching Trinity Lutheran Church Alamosa. On our website, click the link for Apple or Android devices to upload our app to your phone or tablet. Our app has many resources to help you. Thank you, and may the Lord bless you this week.
KSPK.